This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. We are led by our senior pastors, Jeff and Tracy Lamont. Today's message is titled, The Prayer of Power, and was recorded on January 27th, 2019. It's our prayer that God will use it to begin and reveal something new in you. God bless.
We'd love to be your church family if you're looking for a church, so we happen to think this is a pretty good one and that you would fit really well. So fill that out. We'll send you a little letter. Hey, we're in the middle of a kids' ministry restructure. Janine Harper's going to come up real quick and
give her
a good hand. Give her a good hand as she comes. We're excited to announce that Janine's on the team with our kids' ministry. Ada Forrest has been doing a great job, and we're really blessed by all that she has brought to our kids' ministry. And we realized we have someone on our team that's got 20-plus years of ministry experience in kids' ministry, Janine, and we thought, you know what? What a great way to kind of bring Janine in and even help equip and encourage Ada in that ministry. So that's what she's going to do, and she's got a lot of dreams and visions, and there's going to be a number of changes. So tell us a little bit about it, Janine. We're excited.
Yeah, so you heard that Pastor Jeff and Tracy were just talking about new. So do you think this is a new season?
Amen.
It just like when Tracy was announcing the name for the women's conference, I'm like, new. Why does the word new keep popping up everywhere we go? So we are going to run with that theme, new, and we are going to be restructuring our children's department. So think with me about Jesus. Mm. He was sitting. The kids were running up to him, which, of course, every kid would probably want to do. I mean, you guys would, too, if you saw Jesus like that. And he didn't say, stop, stop, stop. I must take care of the adults first. No. What did he do? He sat those kids upon his knee.
Right.
He spent time with them. Mm-hmm. So let's think about our kids. That's the next generation coming up, right?
Mm. Amen.
From our itty-bitties to our base kids to our youth, this is a different generation, guys, than we grew up in. Mm, this is one saturated with tech and media. How do we reach the kids? So we've realized there needs to be something new. So we've got a challenge to you, because I'm also going to challenge you to step into something new. Mm. I'm building a kids team, and I need you. Mm-hmm. We are going to do things in a completely different way in kids' world. So it's going to take not one teacher or two teachers. It's going to take a team of teachers. I promise I won't take up a lot of your time, but what we're going to be doing here is changing things up for our kids. Just like if Pastor Jeff were the only one to stand here the entire time on Sunday, we would get sick of
good,
his face just a little.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just saying. It's nice when there's some variety.
That's right.
We're going to start bringing that into kids' church. Some variety, switching things up. Different people. I'd love to have you part of our team, our existing team. I'd love to use you in a different, in a new way. So I'm really excited about that. Things are going to look different. We are going to be loud, and we are going to be crazy. Mm. So when you step over there, you might need to poke your ears just a tad, because we're gonna let loose, and we're going to bring joy into Jesus. Mm. So if you are interested, if you have even a tiniest bit of, I might like to work 10 minutes with the kids on Sunday, please come and see me. It's going to look different, and change is sometimes hard. It's going to be a little bit tricky for all of us, but encourage your kids. This is going to be fun. We're going to bring Jesus in a whole new light, a whole new way, and we're going to continue to run with that theme new and see what God has for kids' ministry.
All right. Amen. All right. Thank you, Janine.
Right. We're excited.
Janine, you're not planning on replacing me, right? I mean, I wasn't sure about that.
No.
That illustration you gave there. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, you know, we're excited about Harvest Project.
Oh, yeah.
It is, we're introducing to you our new goal for 2019. I think most of you know that 2018, we met and exceeded our goal. We give God praise for that. It's really, really cool what happened there. I'm having trouble with my little presentation, but I'm going to try to get it back to where it needs to be. So I want to show you a few things here this morning. This is the history of Harvest Project. We've been doing it for 10 years now, and I just thought this was the coolest thing. We've harvested over $300,000 to pour into the kingdom.
Amen.
That's pretty cool to me. I can't wait till the day that exceeds $1 million. That's been one of my bucket list things that I want to see is giving $1 million and reaching 1 million souls. Wouldn't that be awesome for the kingdom of God? So 42,500 is our new goal. Here's our new missions, the new organizations we're supporting. By the way, you'll see Women of the Well there. They're here this morning. Give them a good hand. Excited to have them. We've got three new ministries, Foundation 50 buildings donated to them. They're remodeling them, making them into some really cool ministry centers. I'll show you a picture here in a minute. Elevate Dance Ministry, which now has three locations. Go, Jen Dupin. Go, Jen Dupin. Amazing what she's doing. 164 kids now, I think. Is that right? Oh my goodness, this is awesome. Praise God. Hands of Hope Nicaragua, you're going to hear from Roberto and Heather in just a little bit, doing some really cool stuff with literacy and reaching kids in Nicaragua. And then you'll notice our missionaries, we're adding Simon McBevy. Some of you remember Simon. He spoke here. He's been involved in our city. He's from Kenya and has a great ministry there and literally around the world. Neil and Juanita Brangers, they're getting married in March, and we're excited to bring Juanita on with Neil. We've raised their support. Amy Miller, of course, and she's getting married too, and then Roberto and Heather that we just mentioned. And we gave raises to some of the others too. We weren't able to give it across the board, but to many. Here's Simon. You'll see a little saying from Simon here. We have problems that are greater than technology, leadership ability, and scientific advancement. We need God. The church can touch the heavens and see change come. It's time to cry out and pray. Yes. By the way, he's one of the greatest men of prayer that I personally know. Yeah. Southeast Christian brought him to teach the whole church on prayer. He is just a genuine and powerful man of God who has a ministry called Transform Nations. Mm-hmm. So we want to be a part of supporting and encouraging him. And here's one of the buildings that Travis has had donated for Foundation 58 on Little Street. And it's a creative space that inspires and renews hope, a safe place, a refuge, a light where identity is renewed, lives restored, and a community transformed through prayer, worship, missions, and discipleship. So we're excited about that. And this morning, we're going to invite Cody, Tyler, and Heather, and Roberto up for just a minute. We're going to pray over these guys because they're all getting ready to go. This is their last Sunday morning with us for a little bit. Cody's heading to the great nation of India, which you see there on your left. And Heather is heading to Nicaragua, our beloved Nicaragua, for a season. Roberto's got to stay. Roberto's in the middle of getting his U.S. citizenship, and it's required that he stay. So Roberto's going to be lonely. He needs you to invite him over for dinner. How about that? You'll enjoy getting to know Roberto. Yeah, he is fun. A great, great guy.
Yeah, we love him.
So we're excited. Give them the mic, honey, real quick. Let them tell us real quick about what they're doing.
Yeah, so as we were walking through the city, going door to door and praying for people, we come across this one guy. And we notice on this guy that one knee is swollen almost twice the size as the other. We begin to try to talk to him, and he's speaking Tamil, and we can't understand. So at this point in time, we're just asking the Holy Spirit to translate for us, and guess what? He does. We find out that this guy had a surgery 1 year ago on this knee. We ask him, can we pray for this knee to our God? He says, sure. We pray, and we hear a pop. And the knee begins to go down to its normal size, and he begins to tell us in Tamil that I have zero pain.
Wow.
And I can walk on it again. This is one of the testimonies that I heard this morning from the team that I'm going to join in India. Salvations are happening. They're going to different schools, and they're speaking to over 850 Hindu students that are hearing about Jesus for the first time. And not only that, they're hearing Jesus' voice speak to them, and it is blowing their minds. I'll be going to head out to India this coming up Sunday, February 3rd. I'll be there through February the 21st, which is 18 days. I'll be joining the team that's already been out there for 2 weeks now, and by the time I get out there, it'll be their third week. Amazing things are happening, and you can continue to pray that amazing things will continue to happen.
Amen, yes.
As I go out there and join them in the awesome ministry they've already got going on. Thank you, guys.
Yes. Amen. Wow.
Well, guys, guys will have to excuse me. I have lost my voice. So this is not a very good time, but tomorrow morning I am heading back home. To be honest, home for us is Nicaragua. To be here these past, 8 months since we had to leave Nicaragua, we've been displaced. So now I'm the one who gets to go home, and Roberto is the one who has to stay behind. But guys, I wish I had more of a voice to share with you just the incredible, incredible things that God is doing. Actually, I met Cody and on my first mission trip 4 years ago, and I was on the Bible distribution team, and we were taking Bibles door to door, and I'll never forget this one lady who just held that Bible so close to her heart, and she just treasured God's word. But later on, I found out she couldn't read. She didn't know how to read, so she had God's word in her hand, but she didn't know what it said. And God began planting in our heart this desire to teach reading, to teach education. And before I completely lose my voice, I'm going to let Roberto share a little bit about how he came into that vision with us. So,
good morning. I want to share with you that education made the difference in my life, especially in third world countries like mine. Education is a beautiful gateway that God is using in people's lives. Mm. They can see there is a hope and a future when they focus on education. Mm. And we can see this beautiful plan unfolding in front of our eyes, especially when we saw this day happening 3 years ago before we got married. We saw that we would be apart for a while, because God's plan is perfect. We have a couple of kids from our old city called Hinatega moving to Samota. They are brothers. Erickson, 17 years old, and Harrison, 12 years old. Education is making a difference in their lives, but most of all, they love the Lord more than anything. And that's the beauty of this plan, that we are going to be part of it. We can see the enemy not being happy because God's plan is perfect. And I'm going to share with you that some members of our family here in the States have been sick the last 2-3 days. Please keep us in your prayer, because we're going to need a lot of prayer. We're not parents. We're going to have 2 kids living, working, studying, doing things with us. So all this is new to us, and we would like you to cover us in prayer. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Let's do that. Let's do that right now. Why don't you stand? Go ahead and stand. Stretch out your hands toward these guys. We're welcome to have some folks come up if you'd like and just surround them. That'd be great. And let's pray over them. Father, go with Cody. Lord, as you're taking them to the nation of India, one of the largest nations on the face of this planet, a nation that's even growing at a greater rate than China, and one day will supersede China as the largest nation on the face of the planet. Lord, would you use him? Would you use that team? Would you protect them and bless them as they go preaching and teaching and discipling and reaching out in love and compassion to the people of India? Use them mightily, Lord. Protect Cody, bless him and the team, and let it just be a really fruitful outreach. And Lord, as Heather goes, God, just let your healing touch be upon her. And Lord, use her as she goes and starts this new school in this new area and seeks to really please you and serve you through education and literacy development. Lord, bless the curriculum they've developed and be with them. Protect her and Roberto as they're apart in this season, and just bless their marriage and their ministry. And we just give you praise and glory, Lord, that this church is reaching out literally around the world, touching the needy, the oppressed, the hungry, the hurting, and doing it all in Jesus' name. And we give you praise, precious Jesus. Amen, church. Give him praise for that. God bless you guys. Amen. Hey, I want to show you here real quick on this map exactly where... right here. So if you see this Madris Samoto, that's where Roberto and Heather are going to be. So if you'll see that, it's up actually close to the Honduran border. Okay. So we're going to receive our offering today.
Yes.
But before they come with the offering buckets, I want to pass out to you the Harvest Project card. Okay, so this is our new card for this year, and I want everybody praying. We're going to receive them next week, so we're asking everybody to pray and ask the Lord what it is that you should commit to by faith
to give this year, 2019, toward our $42,500 goal. And you know what? Here's what matters to us is that we all as a body say yes to reaching above and beyond our tithe. Our tithe goes to the church to meet the needs of the church. And then we're asking people to pray about 2% above that. 2% above that, whatever that would be for you, or whatever God lays on your heart. Don't give under compulsion. Give because God is speaking to you. What is it that he would have you do? We asked the staff and our council the other day to go ahead and turn their pledges in early. I don't have the exact number, but it was already over $11,000 pledged just from our staff and our council. Can you give God praise for that? So we're a fourth of the way there. We just need your help, okay? We're leading the way, but we need your help. So ask the Lord. He'll show you. And listen, even if it's a dollar, just jump in so we know you're with us and believe in God to reach needy people around this world and across our community with the good news of Jesus Christ, love and power. Amen, amen. All right, Lord, bless our gifts and our giving today. We want to give, Lord, with generous hearts, just like you have given and blessed us. Bless the gift and the giver in Jesus' strong name. Amen. God bless you as you give. Growth Track's coming just around the corner, February 3rd. If you haven't been through Growth Track yet, it's a great experience. Teaches you everything you need to know about how to be a part of this church and a part of its ministry. In fact, we'll give you a couple of really cool tests that I think will really open your eyes and help you understand the gifting that God has in you and how he wants you to use that for his glory. Tell everybody about this, honey. This is pretty
ladies,
cool.
Hey, ladies. This is really cool. So we have a LuLaRoe sale upstairs to benefit the Women of the Well. So what we're going to do is Miss Mona has brought all these clothes because a lady, I guess, is going out of business and gave her like 500 pieces of clothing. I mean, it's amazing. And so she said, hey, let's give it to the ladies of the Women of the Well. And so they get to go first and get whatever they want to. And then everything that's left, ladies, we get like 80% off. So the leggings... They're supposed to be like soft like butter. I don't know. Anyway, I've got a couple pair. I love them. Anyway, they're $5, normally $25, ladies. So it's really nice. So anyway, we got all kinds of things up there. So help yourself after the service.
Is there any guys' leggings?
No, I'm sorry.
No. I'm just wondering. I don't think I'd want them anyway.
No,
but,
I don't think so. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
I want something rough as sandpaper, not smooth as butter. I don't know. I'm a guy.
We like buttery things.
Yes.
Soft.
All right. Fantastic. All right. Hey, you've got another one here to tell us about.
Hey, yeah, our Foursquare Women's Conference is March 22nd, 23rd. The theme is new, taken after Ezekiel 36:26, that I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will replace the stony heart with a tender heart. And so I have a lady coming in, Deb Giamo from Ohio, and she's going to be speaking on freedom. So get ready, ladies. It's going to be powerful. And Suzanne McWhorter is going to do our worship. And, of course, we're going to have food. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So most important thing is that God is going to be there and he's going to show up. So,
amen. Small groups. You got to check out the small group fair today. Get around to the tables. Sign up for a new group. They're all starting in the next week. So the fair will be back. We scheduled it for Sunday, March 17th. That's going to be awesome.
Write that down.
So you don't want to miss out on that. And before we go to our message today, we're going to play a little video. We've been working on something else new, and we need to give a big shout-out to Miss Brittany Harper.
Oh,
she's a star around here.
Woo-hoo, Brittany.
We're really proud of her. She's been working on
video
announcements for us, and this is our first go-round on this. It's going to get even better from here, but we wanted you to check this out so we can bring the lights down a little bit and play that little film real quick. You're going to love Miss Brittany.
Good morning. Welcome to New Song. We're so glad you've joined us today. If you're new, you'll find a care and communication card in your bulletin. And if you just fill that out and put it in the offering bucket as it passes you by, we'd love to get to know you and learn how to serve you better. We also have a great way to give, Push Pay. Just text New Song Louisville to 77977 and you can keep track of all your tithes and offerings on there. We also have Harvest Project. Every year, New Song commits to giving a certain amount of money to missions and missionaries all over the world. Would you pray with us and see how you can give to help us meet our goal in 2019? We also have social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so go check us out. New Song also has a youth group. It's for 7th to 12th graders, and they meet right here at New Song every Saturday night from 5 to 8 p.m. We also have great programs for kids that happen every Sunday morning during the service. We also offer some great small groups. Go check those out in the back, Small Group Central. Growth Track is back. If you'd like to become a member, sign up today. Winter Camp is coming up this February. Sign up with Zach Forrest today. Ladies, Women's Conference is this March 22nd and 23rd. Don't forget to sign up with Tracy Lamont today. Again, thank you for joining us. We're so happy you're here.
Isn't that cool? Isn't that awesome? So I'm really praying about what God has for me in this new season, because Brittany's taking my announcements away and Janine's taking my pulpit away. I don't know what I'm going to do. I think I'll have to go through Growth Track again and figure out where my gifts fit. Hey, by the way, there's a blue sheet that talks about small groups. You need to get a copy of this so you can be looking over them and praying about which one you should be a part of. And, you know, I get to do things like this because I'm up here, but I just want to give a big shout-out to the group Tracy and I are leading called Cherish, and it's a marriage group, and it's going to rock. I think you'll really be blessed, married couples, if you'd like to be a part of that with us. So it starts next Sunday night. Amen. Amen. Let's pray over the word today. Father, would you speak to us through your word? Lord, we are hungry for you. We want to taste and see that you are good. We want to hear, Lord, we're thankful, God. Jesus, you said that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Speak to us today. May our hearts be open to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you. It's going to take us a little bit long. We've gone a little bit long today, but I hope you'll hang in there with me over these next few minutes. I want to share a message today I'm calling the Prayer of Power. Last week we spoke about prayer, and many of you said it was very helpful, and I know a lot of you missed it because of the weather. I would encourage you to get on online and listen to that podcast. I think it'll really help you too. We talked last week about why do we pray? Why do we pray? We tried to answer that question for you. I think it was an encouragement to many of you. This morning, I want to talk about the prayer of power. Let me ask you a question as we start out this morning. And you can answer this one. I'm going to ask you a few more, but you don't have to answer those out loud. But let me ask you this one. How much power does God have? Let me ask it again. How much power does God have? All power, absolutely. Now, don't answer these, okay? But just think about them. Think about them with me for a few minutes. When we pray, are we trying to get God to move when we pray? Is that what we're doing? Here's another one. Are we trying to talk God into something when we pray? Here's another one. Does God finally answer our prayers when we just bug him enough? Here's another one. Do we earn answers to our prayers through hard work, diligence, and perseverance? I want you to think about these things with me this morning, because although we may not say it, I honestly think a lot of us feel that way about prayer. And the way you feel about prayer is going to absolutely determine the way you approach prayer. So my hope is this morning, through this message and this time in the Word, that you see things a little bit differently, so that you actually become, quite honestly, more of a person of prayer. A person who prays more powerfully. Because listen, if you pray something and it doesn't happen, then you know what can happen? It can open a door to discouragement. And quite honestly, if you're looking at prayer in an incorrect way, you'll just get mad at God and you'll eventually give up. And I do not want that to happen, because I believe in this day and time, we need to be more prayerful people than maybe ever before. I think prayer's key. I think prayer's our answer. I think prayer's our lifeline. And I want to really just supercharge you this morning with a heartfelt desire to pray more than you ever have before. Amen? So first of all, let me just say this. God has deposited his power in us. So if we're gonna pray the prayer of power, we have to realize God's already deposited his power in us. Luke 24:49 says this, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued." Everybody say endued. With power from on high. Acts 1:8. The fulfillment of this that happens in the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit's poured out. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. In other words, church, God's deposited his power in us. In fact, according to Romans chapter 8, let me just tell you this morning, remind you this morning, Romans 8 says that you have the same power working in you that raised Jesus Christ's body from the dead. That's the Bible truth. Amen. Go ahead, give the Lord strong praise for that. The Bible teaches The Bible teaches that you are infused, you are endued, you are clothed, whatever word you like to use, with power from on high. In other words, we have God's power within us. If you realize that, it's going to absolutely change the way you pray. Now, before I go to this next slide, I'm going to share a verse that a lot of you are familiar with, but I want to kind of give you a little quiz this morning, test you just a little bit, because I know you are biblical scholars. You love the Word of God. You're following us in the reading. You're reading through the Word together with us this year. But let me see if you're familiar with this verse. You ready? I'm going to give you the first part of it, and you fill in the blank, the rest of it. Let's see how many of you do well on this. Listen to this. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. There it is. What's the next part? I heard Melissa over here. She gets a gold star. Say it again, Melissa. Woo, give her a hand. That is exactly right. According to the power that is at work within us. So you said, guess what? You said this morning, God has all power. But guess what? He's endued you with that power. So guess what? Now you have all power. And you've got to remember that. If God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we could think or ask, then why doesn't he do it? Because according to his word, it's the working of his power in and through us. And this is absolutely key to understanding the prayer of power. You have power. It's already in you. Why doesn't he do it? Because it's up to you. It's up to you. Let me tell you what the word according means in this verse. If you were to look it up and do a little Greek study, you're going to find it means to the measure of. To the measure of. God is able to do everything to the measure of how much we release his power on earth through prayer. Another meaning for the word is distribution. Distribution. How much of God's exceeding abundant power are you measuring out or distributing to your family, to your church, to your city through prayer? That's the question this morning. That's what we need to think about this morning. We have to understand this, that we are the ones that God is wanting to work through, to channel his power through. God has decided in his sovereignty, in his wisdom, to work through you and I. We must learn how to be channels, how to be conduits, how to be that pipeline of heaven to earth. Jeremiah 27:5 says this, I've made the earth, the man and the beast that are on the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and I've given it to whom it seemed proper to me. Who has given the earth to? Who's God given the earth to? To us. We talked about this last week, and I'm not going to go into all the detail. We lost it through sin. The enemy seized it, but Jesus came and reclaimed that which was lost, and now he's given us power and authority on this earth. So here's a bold statement I want to say to you today. You should write this down. There's a note page inside your bulletin, by the way. Listen to this. I want you to think about this. I want you to dwell on this morning, because this really is the heart of what I want to get to you today. God's unlimited power is limited on this earth by your prayers. Let me say it again, because it's important for you to understand that. God's unlimited power is limited on this earth by your prayers. Are you just laying forth a little trickle of his power? Are you just praying just a little bit here and there on the go? Are you really bathing in prayer, really giving yourself to prayer? God's given this earth to us, and he expects us to be kingdom bringers, kingdom people. Secondly, number two, I want you to see this. We must release God's power through prayer. In John chapter 7, there's a powerful picture that we have of exactly what Jesus is trying to do. John 7:37 says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit of God, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. We read the verses where it said, wait, wait to be endued with power. This is exactly what he's talking about here. He's speaking of the power that would come. Let me just tell you a little bit of the historical background of this feast. This is a feast that would last for 8 days. For 7 days, the people of Israel would quote Zechariah 14:8, which says, out of Jerusalem would flow rivers of living water, talking about the coming of the Messiah, the coming Messiah. On the seventh day, they would pour water on the rock, symbolizing the water that came out of the rock in the wilderness. And then on the eighth day, they would pray for rain. They would pray for rain. Nothing wrong with praying for rain, but there was something very wrong with them praying for rain at this particular festival. Instead of praying for the living water that would only come through the Messiah, the promised Messiah, they had allowed this feast just to become a religious tradition, and they would pray for regular old water, just rain, instead of praying for the living water of God's chosen Messiah. This was a tremendous statement of unbelief for the children of Israel. And here's what Jesus does. This is so powerful, and you've probably read this before, but didn't realize the impact of this. After 7 days, according to the verse on living water, on the eighth day, before they prayed for rain, Jesus goes to a central place, stands up, and says to all the people, I am the living water. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me. When you come to me, I'll deposit that water in you, and you can release living water to others. So this morning, I just want to say to you, how much of the living water of Jesus Christ, the Lord, the King, the Messiah, are you releasing to your family? Is it a trickle or is it a river? Is it growing? Is it building? Is it possible that prayer is not so much trying to get God to move as it is releasing God's power, enough of his power in the Spirit to get the job done? Is that possibly what it is about? Some of us, well, I prayed and God didn't do it. Well, how long did you pray for? How long did you pray for? And think about it with me, church. Think about this for a little bit. Hasn't God already done it? Hasn't God already done it? Is Jesus ever going to die on the cross again, folks? Is he ever going to do that for our sins again? No, the work of salvation, as far as God is concerned, is already done. Then why isn't every person on the face of this earth saved? Because they have a part two. Because they have a part too. They've not done their part. It's kind of like, if you can just envision this with me for a minute, it's kind of like a chessboard. God has moved his piece. He's hit his timer. It's your move now. God's waiting on you. Is Jesus ever going to be scourged for our sickness and our healing again? No, he already has been. It's your move now to receive that which he has already done for you. He's already done it. We need to pray and get heaven or God's will, God's desire to this earth. That's what prayer does. It brings that which is already purchased, that which is already done to this earth. We need to get it here to this earth. Amen, church? We need to be the pipelines, the people of prayer who are releasing his power to come and bring his kingdom here to this earth. Let me give you a little more scriptural background for this. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. How many blessings are you blessed with? Come on, you can do better than that. How many? Every spiritual blessing, every one, but where are they? Where are they according to the scripture? They're in heavenly places. Wouldn't you like a few of them down here on this earth? Do you want just all the blessings when you get to heaven, or do you want some here? You can receive some here, can't you? How do we get them though? Through prayer. We need to start creating the conduit, creating the pipeline. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Why? Because a lot of times his will's not being done. He wants to do it. He's waiting on you and I to be the conduit to bring and release his power on this earth. This is going to change your prayer life. It's up to us to pray. You've gotten discouraged. You've given up. Don't let that happen. That's the enemy's agenda for you. You need to get more of heaven to earth. Some of us, I know how some of us are. I'm this way. Some of us are bottom line people. We like to get to the point. You know, what's the point? We like to get down to business. Some of us are just, you know, that's the way we are personality-wise. Personally, I struggle at times when somebody comes to me and they're talking and they're rambling, they're going around in circles, and, you know, under my breath, I'm just going, Lord, help them to get to the point. Give me patience, Lord, because I got other people to talk to and other things to do. But, you know, that's the way it is for some of us. But, you know, you can't treat prayer that way. Some of us, we just come in fast and hard, and we just pray one time, and then we give up. We need to learn to release more of God's power by spending more time in that precious, that hidden place with God in prayer. You know what the fastest animal on earth is? Anybody know what that fastest animal is? What is it, sweetheart? A cheetah. My daughter said a cheetah. Way to go, honey. You get a gold star, too. A cheetah. How fast does a cheetah run, sweetheart? Do you know? 70 miles an hour. About the same speed a lot of you drive on the Gene Snyder. Actually, the speed that some of you drive on Old Henry. But anyway, we won't talk about that. Be careful out there. Be careful out there, church. You know, a cheetah's body is designed that way. It's designed that way by God, right? He runs fast and hard, but he doesn't run long. Go 70 because he's got this oversized heart. He's got this really slim and trim body. He can go 70 miles an hour. It's pretty amazing. A lot of us are that way in prayer. We pray fast and hard, but we don't pray long. We don't dwell in prayer very long. We just try to get right to the point, and then that's it. We move on. We go to something else. We just kind of leave it on God's doorstep instead of lingering, instead of praying more, instead of just creating a bigger pipeline. When things don't go well for us in prayer, you know, we just try to hit it faster and harder. Let me just say to you this morning, maybe you need to spend a little longer in prayer. Heard the story of Paul Yonggi Cho, the pastor of the largest church in the world. His son was sick. His son was deathly ill. And Paul Yonggi Cho came and prayed over his son, and nothing happened. And but, you know, unlike us, who would have just kind of went on and done our own thing and went, well, I prayed for him, you know. I did everything I could. Paul Yonggi Cho stayed and prayed more. Still nothing happened, and he prayed more. Still nothing happened. He prayed all night long. All night long. He sat there at the bedside of his son on his knees, praying and seeking God. And guess what? The next morning, the son was healed. Why did Elijah need to pray seven times for rain when God had said he was going to send rain? Why did he have to pray seven times? Was Elijah trying to talk God into doing something God had already said he was going to do? Go back and read the story. No, God had already said he's going to send rain. Why did he pray seven times? He was releasing enough power on earth from heaven to see the prayer answered. He understood this. You and I need to understand this. Daniel chapter 10, look at this verse with me. And you're going to absolutely understand this today in the context of 21 days of prayer and fasting. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning three full weeks. You know why I was mourning? Because he was praying and fasting. Some of you have been on a Daniel fast, and you know, it says in verse 3, I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till three whole weeks were fulfilled. He was praying and fasting, no meats, no sweets, no wine, none of the rich, sumptuous food. But look down at what was angel while he was fasting and praying. Jumping down to verse, first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I've come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I'd been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Do you notice what it says? It says, from the first day that he prayed, he'd been heard, and the angel left heaven with the answer. But do you remember? Did you see? There is a battle going on in heaven. The Bible talks about a spiritual war that rages, about principalities and powers in high places that try to block the will of God, that bring a spiritual battle even to our prayer lives. Let me ask you the question this morning. What if Daniel stopped praying after 20 days instead of 21 days? what might have been lost. He persevered. He continued to pray. He continued to make that conduit. How many answers to prayer are we losing out on because we are not continuing faithfully in prayer? Daniel continued in prayer till the answer came. That's the only way to approach prayer. You and I begin to pray, we keep praying until that conduit, until that pipeline comes from heaven to earth. That's key. Jesus even taught a parable we talked about last week. Luke 18:1, teach us to pray always and not to give up. By the way, I'm so proud of you for fasting. I'm so proud that so many of you joined in and in some way, shape, or form you've been fasting. God's going to bless you for that. You're going to see differences in your life. You're going to see breakthroughs that are going to come because of that. Number three, and you're going to get excited about this, God adds his fire to our prayers. Revelation 5:8, look at this scripture. You're going to love it. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. What are the golden bowls full of incense? The prayers of the saints. So where's our prayers stored? Before the very presence of God, in golden bowls full of incense. Now, you know what? Let's don't stop there. Let's turn over a couple of pages in the book of Revelation to Revelation chapter 8. Look at this. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven. You know, we wonder if women will be in heaven. But, you know, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. You know, some say maybe there's no preachers in heaven. I don't know, but just you know, ignore that. That was naughty. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My wife's going to get me for that one. Verse 2, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints. Do you see that? This is so awesome. Upon the golden altar which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense, with the prayers of the saints, ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth, and there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. By the way, all those are symbols of God's power moving on this earth. His power at work. Do you get what happens here? When we pray, our prayers go into golden bowls in heaven. Those bowls at some point have the fire of God added to them, and they are thrown back down to earth with God's fire added to it. By the way, can I just say, that's the same fire that came down when Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. It's the same fire that stood between the children of Israel and the Egyptian armies that were pursuing them. It's the same fire that fell on the day of Pentecost. It's the same fire that Moses talked to in the burning bush. It's the fire of God's presence, and that's what's added to your prayers. Come on, give the Lord praise. What do you think happens, church, when the fire of God is added to your prayers? That's when miracles occur. That's when things happen that are impossible with man, but possible with God. When does that happen? Well, could we just surmise today that it's when the bowls are full enough? It's when those bowls begin to get so full that they tilt over. It's like the bowl is on a pedestal or something, on a fulcrum. And you know, a casual prayer, sporadic prayer is not enough. You know, it's like there's an angel standing there. Please, Lord, please let her pray for her daughter more. I want to see that bowl fill up. I want to bring that answer. But she only prays a minute or two on her way to Starbucks every morning. Let her contend in prayer. Let her spend more time, God, so the bowl can fill up. I mentioned Paul Yonggi Cho and the largest church in the world. Did you know his pastors are required to pray somewhere between, you know, 6 and 8 hours a day? Do you know almost all the mighty men and women of God we read about in history had significant prayer lives? All the largest churches and all the denominations, by the way, in the world are in Seoul, Korea, because those are people who know how to pray. I have a friend who's in—he's from Nigeria. He's a college professor here in the United States in California. He said, "Pastor Jeff, I'd love to take you to a prayer meeting in Lagos, Nigeria, where over 1 million people gather on a Friday night every month. Wouldn't you love to go to that prayer meeting?" But I'm telling you, most of you get worn out by it because they spend all night long, 1 million people praying so the bowls might be filled and the fire of God might be added and prayers might be answered. I'm just asking you this morning, how full are your bowls? How much time are you spending in God's presence? Are you is it just a trickle or are you creating a river? A river that's bringing God's blessings. I got to tell you a story of one of my favorite men of God from the past. His name is George Mueller. Talk about a man of prayer. Some of you don't know this, but Mueller, he lived a really wild life. Before he was 30 years old, he was very, very immoral. He did all kinds of things. He was an alcoholic. He was immoral in lots of ways. When he's 30 years old, he goes to a small group. And, you know, they didn't exactly call it that then, but it was a Bible study in somebody's home where there were just 7 or 8 people, and it changed George Mueller's life. He wanted to go to, after this happened, after he was radically saved, he wanted to go to a missionary school. His father, who was very wealthy, refused to pay for it, didn't want him to go, didn't feel that he should. So you know what George Mueller did? He did something that absolutely framed his life and made him a man that you and I would talk about today. He lived in the 1800s. He just began to pray. And he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed until the bowl was full. He prayed for 2 full months. And then God said to him, go to that missionary school that you want to go to. I'm going to provide for you. And this is a true story. He's standing in line at the missionary school to pay a tuition, and he has nothing. And literally, as he's standing in line, a man walks up to him he's never seen before and hands him an envelope. George Mueller doesn't even look in it, goes up to the line, lays the envelope down. It's the exact amount needed for the missionary school. Isn't that cool? Listen, it doesn't stop there. This is a man of prayer, persistent prayer, channeling the power of God, bringing those heavenly blessings down to earth. He graduates, and he's turned down by the missionary board to be a missionary because of his past. He was too wild. So Mueller just begins to pray. He prays for a whole year. For a whole year waiting on God till the bowl was full. Then he goes to another town and he goes to this little church to touch in with him. And the people said to him, "Hey, we just lost our pastor. Would you be our pastor?" He said, "I just graduated from missionary school. I'd love to be your pastor." He ends up pastoring that church for many years. And while he's their pastor, God burdens his heart and he starts orphanages. When he begins his first orphanage, he has 50 cents. 50 cents. Some of you who are believing God to go to a missionary school, Gracie and Natalie and others, God can meet you. Even if you only have 50 cents, he can meet you. He can take care of you. He only has 50 cents, but he begins to pray. And he prays, and he prays, and he creates a pipeline from heaven to earth. And over the next 60 years, God provides over $7.5 million. And George Mueller builds more orphanages than anybody in that day and time, and literally ministers to thousands upon thousands of children. Some of you have seen God provide like this. Others of us, we got to pray. When he got saved, by the way, listen to this, and I'll close with this story. When he gets saved, his best friend in the world, the one that he had done so many immoral things with, his friend rejects Christ. But George begins to pray for him daily. George Mueller died at the age of 93 years old, and he'd prayed for his friend for 63 years. 63 years of faithful praying, filling that bowl. When he's 93, someone comes along and hears him praying one day, and he's praying for this friend. He's praying for this friend, and this friend says, "Are you still praying for him?" And he says, "I've been praying for him faithfully for 63 years. Mueller ends up passing away not too long after that. And that friend that heard him praying came to the funeral, and so did the friend that he'd been praying for. And as they lowered Mueller's body into the grave, At the end of the funeral, the friend he'd been praying for 63 years went over to the edge of the grave, got on his knees, and gave his life to Christ. Listen, prayer's not trying to get God to move. It's you releasing the power of God through your prayers that allows God to move on this earth. We need to pray, church, until the bowls are full and God adds his fire to it and sends it back with miraculous answers. Can you say amen to that? Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me for a moment? Lord, I'm not going to spend much time on our closing today. I just want to pray this. God, help us to be people of faithful, persistent prayer, to never give up, to keep praying till the bowls are full, till we see the answers come, till your kingdom comes more and more and more on this earth, just as you taught us to pray. Make us people of prayer. And all God's people said amen. Amen. God bless you today. Thank you for coming. Can you give the Lord praise? Was that a good word for you today?
This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. Thank you for letting us share this message with you. May God bless you in constant and powerful ways. If you would like a copy of today's podcast, please send us an email to nslk@nslk.org. God bless.